21 Letters by Maureen Marsh.
Dear Jason, this is the last letter I'm writing to you, as you will be 21 today and already walking your journey into the mad world of the grown-up adult human. Every year on your birthday, I have endeavoured to write something inspiring, hopeful, appropriate, something that might help you in this insufferably mad existence, in this life that seems empty of meaning and yet full of it. The paradox of life is everywhere. I see you now, beautiful and bold, with your eyes to the horizon. The whole world is opening up for you, son, and you have a choice today and every day. Who do you choose to show up as? Let me tell you about your father and who he chose to show up as. As you know, we met as young students at university. We were both studying history and politics, and your dad was a big show-off. He had so much to say for himself. I thought to myself, what a self-opinionated arse. I do not like this man very much at all. My sense was that men are more interesting in books than they are in real life. This opinion was not really challenged until the day of the debate. We gathered in the hall at uni, and the debate was about communism, and your dad at that time was an advocate, as I recall. I suppose it is standard fare for a young student to be thus inclined. Perhaps you are. And I was definitely an outsider with my Christian conservative upbringing and Christian conservative viewpoint. I made few friends with anyone as I debated with your father that day. We need a system that guarantees that everyone in society has access to resources where no one is exploited in a financial market. This is why I propose that communism is the future and capitalism does not work, has never worked, and will never work. He emphasised the last sentence, staring directly into a full crowd, and a loud applause erupted. A sea of youthful faces, bright and hopeful, with the world awaiting them. I recall a feeling of irritation at this scene as I stared around at the ideological and fervent expressions, at the smell of patchouli oil, chewing gum and sweaty feet. I felt a compulsion to pop my hand up, and this I did shakily and gingerly. Your father looked over at me with an imperious expression and a little surprise that this mouse woman had deigned to raise a hand. Why has it never worked? I whispered hoarsely. Faces turned around and glared at me, hostile and annoyed. Sorry, I can't hear you, he responded. I repeated the question. He looked at the moderator to see if he should respond. After a nod, he looked in my direction with a fire in his tone. I'm not sure it hasn't worked. I just think it's not been tried properly. He stuttered at this last point and kept his gaze at me for a while. There was a hint of both fury and interest, and after the debate had ended, we all went to the university bar to decompress. I sat on a beer-stained table with my two mousy friends in a corner. We were the oddbod gang, the unpopular and unapproached geek clique. Marjorie with her terrible eyesight and gogglebox glasses, Jan with her ginger hair and tendency to blush at everything, and myself with a giant crucifix and gap between my front teeth. Nonetheless, your father, dashing and popular as he was, took the time to wind his way over to our little table. Hi, he said. You're not a fan then? He smiled. What of? I responded, a little surprised at my flirtatious tone. He looked at the two uncool females that flanked me and said, may I sit with you? Do you mind? Jan blushed a deeper shade of beetroot, and Marjorie stuttered, oh, yes, please do. She looked completely captivated and aghast that Mr. Tall, handsome and popular should deign to sit with the bunch of losers that was the geek clique. That was the first date, son, and we spent that evening debating and arguing back and forth, the topic appearing to be politics, but really the topic was us. It was, who are you? It was, I like that you're smart, that you have opinions, that you have colour. By the end of the night, your beautiful father walked me home to my student digs and kissed me very gently, and something in me said, this is home. After university, we worked stupid jobs, your dad as a barista at Nero and I worked at a hotel bar. We lived on beans on toast and kisses. We argued, we made love, we almost split up once or twice, but somehow we endured a peculiar passion that could not be quenched. Your father was this beautiful mystery that could never be solved, and I loved trying to solve the unsolvable. Eventually we married, and this is where your father really went from boy to man, as I see it. 3 months in, my dad called me. I put the mobile down and turned to your father. Mum's ill, my face pale and drained. He walked over silently and squeezed my hand. He said nothing. He didn't need to. I spent many an hour in tears, scared to visit Mum, yet knowing that I had to. With each visit, we were forced to witness her deterioration. Sometimes I could sense the strain affecting us both, his patience wearing thin as I fretted and worried, but he kept going, doing what was necessary to keep our lives functioning. The day Mum died, I walked into Nero where he was working. My eyes red met his, and he knew. There was a strange telepathy between your father and I. This happens with all couples that are close and love each other, I do believe. It is this wonderful shorthand that means you can sit in a silence that is full of understanding. I am confident in you, my son. I know that your father has given you the best example of what a man can be. There are many ideas about manhood and much demonizing that I have heard, but I know that true manhood is a magnificent thing. It is like a rock. He allows the flow of life around him. He doesn't need to bully or dominate, for he knows who he is. Yet he will always stand up for the things that count and the ones he loves. There is a quiet confidence that comes from having direction, purpose, and showing up for the things that matter. What are those things? Truth, reality, beauty, compassion, love. You're most likely aware, son, that life is not easy and tough decisions are often required. Not everyone is on your side. Not everyone will like you. All of this is true. But you can still rise. You can still be the hero of your story. I will forever be sorry that I could not be around to watch you grow, that I could not hold you in my arms as a boy and let you know how very much I loved you. Your father and I were devastated by my diagnosis after your birth. We hoped and prayed for a miracle. But I am no longer with you in flesh. My spirit watches over you as the precious jewel that you are. This is the last letter, letter 21. I love you so and bless you, my darling one. You are born of love and you are loved. Happy birthday, your mother.